KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly cloudy skies here today, with nearly steady temperatures are slowly cooling as the day progresses, with winds northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In the news, the Federal Railroad Administration, in cooperation with the Iowa Department of Transportation, is kicking off the Chicago to Omaha Regional Passenger Rail System Planning Study. The Iowa DOT will host an online self-directed open house meeting beginning February 13th. It's available at www.iowadot.gov/Chicago to Omaha. The online open house will be the first opportunity for the public to participate in the study, which is intended to evaluate potential route alternatives, evaluate levels of service and ridership, analyze environmental impacts, and determine a preferred Chicago to Omaha passenger rail route alternative. Tamara Nicholson, Iowa DOT Director of the Office of Rail Transportation, said potential improvements to the passenger rail system from Chicago through Iowa to Omaha will help to complete the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative's vision for developing an improved and expanded passenger rail system in the Midwest. The study will be a major step in assessing the viability of high-speed regional passenger rail for Iowa and the Midwest. Your comments can be submitted at the online open house. For those without internet access, meeting materials and a comment form may be requested by calling 800-488-7119. And for more information, you can visit the study's website or call that toll-free number I just mentioned. If you'd like those that website address again or that toll-free number, it's available on our webpage at KJAN.com under the News tab. It's 8:02.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday that two people have been arrested last week for consuming alcohol under the legal age. 19-year-old Lance Allen Templeton and 20-year-old Devin Dennis Doty, both of Sydney, were arrested February 1st. Doty also faces a charge of driving with an open container. In state news, although funding has grown, some Iowa school districts are seeking more help in covering the rising costs of non-English-speaking students. The Des Moines Register reports state funding for those students has risen more than 40%, or $4.9 million, in the past 5 years. The number of students has grown almost 20%, but the districts say they needed more money than the state provided. Districts collected $11.8 million last fiscal year in property taxes for their English Language Learner, or ELL, programs, compared with $6.1 million 5 years ago. The amounts spent per student varied widely, from $46 per student in Maquoketa Valley for its three ELL learners to the nearly $20,300 per student that was spent by Dyke New Hartford for its two non-English-speaking students. West Des Moines school officials say tweets and Facebook comments are behind the assaults made by two students. Officials say the dispute began when comments were posted about a car accident in Des Moines. The two 17-year-old students at Valley High School said they felt bullied by the other. The dispute erupted on Thursday when one of the teens attacked the other in the school's cafeteria. A friend of one of the students got involved later at the school office. She and one of the teens originally involved in the dispute have been suspended and charged with misdemeanor assault and disorderly conduct. Officials say more and more teenage disputes have been moving to the digital world. A leading national advocacy group considers Iowa's charter schools to be charter school laws, that is, to be among the worst in the nation. The National Alliance for Public Charter Schools ranks states based on how well they support charter school growth. Iowa dropped from 36th to 38th last year among the 42 states that have charter school laws. Alliance Vice President Todd Zebarth says that Iowa prohibits charter schools from opening unless they're converted from existing public schools.
Because the law doesn't have most of those ingredients, it's just very challenging for individuals and organizations to start up a charter school and to succeed and to sustain that level of success.
He says Iowa charter schools can't get better under the current rules.
The law there really needs an overhaul, I think, to create the kind of environment where charter schools can open and thrive.
Zebarth says that the opening charter schools is more effective than improving traditional public schools because charters offer unique and alternative curriculum for students.
The challenge is it's really hard to turn around existing schools. And so at the same time states are engaging in that challenging work, they need to have the door open for new schools to come in, to bring these innovations into the system that the states can then apply to the larger set of schools.
The main criticism of charter schools is that they often compete with public schools for funding. Although there are a few studies that compare charter schools with traditional public schools, Zebarth says students at charter schools outperform public school students in testing and college attendance rates. Governor Branstad's education reform plan includes a law that lifts charter school restrictions in Iowa, and Zebarth hopes that Iowa's poor ranking pressures lawmakers to support the governor's proposal. Well, engineers are in high demand in Iowa right now, and today in Ames, more than 200 companies will be meeting with thousands of young people hoping to enter that line of work. Brian Larson is Director of Engineering Career Services at Iowa State University.
I think the economy is just really picking up, and of course, you know, we're living in a much more technological world, and so there's a big demand for engineers right at the moment.
Larson has helped to organize the ISU College of Engineering Spring Career Fair. The event runs from noon until 6 p.m. at Hilton Coliseum and at the Sheman Building. Many of the fair attendees could end up with a job by the end of this week.
In the days following the career fair, we'll have upwards of 1,200 interviews happening, and many students will be walking away with full-time positions or intern co-op positions.
Good job prospects and high salaries are among the reasons Iowa State and other universities are experiencing record engineering enrollments.
The average starting salary for an engineer is about a little higher than $58,000 a year, so very good salaries and benefits.
A recent report in the Wall Street Journal stated that 7 of the top 10 highest paying college majors are engineering degrees. And a bid to close down Iowa businesses that employ illegal immigrants has cleared an initial hurdle at the State House. If the bill becomes law, an Iowa business caught with an illegal immigrant on its payroll would be placed on probation. If caught within the next 3 years of employing another illegal immigrant, the state would strip that business of its license to operate in Iowa. Representative Glenn Massey, a Republican from Des Moines, says the issue has been ignored for years, and illegal immigrants have become a burden on the state.
People I work with, they resent the fact that there are a lot of tax dollars that are confiscated from their paychecks and given over to people who may not be here legally, and that's rather difficult to swallow.
Massey is part of a three-person subcommittee that gave its approval to the proposal late Monday afternoon. A third member of the panel, Representative Mary Wolf, a Democrat from Clinton, is a co-sponsor of the bill, but after negative feedback, she's having some reservations.
I'm wondering why we couldn't just make it Iowa law that people have to use the E-Verify system and leave out all this stuff about enforcement.
She refused to sign off on the bill yesterday. Several critics spoke out during yesterday's subcommittee meeting. Eric Tabor, the top deputy of the Iowa Attorney General's office, argued the federal government should be the enforcer of immigration policy.
And what this bill does is imposes a substantial burden on the Attorney General's office and on county attorneys and presumably on police to do these investigations.
The bill asks Iowa officials to be investigators of complaints about alleged hiring of illegal immigrants. Norwalk Police Chief Eddie Cool was the only person in the crowd who spoke in favor of the proposal. He argued that it could help to prevent identity theft.
I think it's a good thing. Anything that we can do that would deter that type of criminal activity and would eliminate the victimization of our people.
This bill is fashioned after a law in Arizona which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled is constitutional. There is another more controversial Arizona law which requires police, when they're enforcing other laws, to question a person's immigration status if the police suspect that person may be in the country illegally. That law is on hold, however, pending the outcome of court appeals. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the Utah father who killed himself and his two young sons in a house explosion left a voicemail for family members. ABC's Good Morning America played the message in which Powell said he couldn't live without his boys and didn't want to go on anymore. Powell, who was a person of interest in his wife Susan's 2009 disappearance, had lost custody of the boys but had them during a supervised visit. When children at Miramonte Elementary School return to classes on Thursday, they'll have all new teachers, administrators, and cafeteria staff. The Los Angeles School District has temporarily replaced the entire staff while it investigates sexual abuse allegations against two of the teachers. The school is closed today and tomorrow as a cooling-off transition period. And a trial over the deadly rig explosion that led to the BP oil spill could be a long one. A federal judge in New Orleans has set aside nearly 7 hours for opening statements alone. Delivering those statements will be lawyers for the plaintiffs, government entities, BP, and the rig owner, Transocean. The trial is set to begin on February 27th. News time is 8:11.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Virginia Matteson, age 85, of Harlan and formerly of Audubon, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Nursing Home in Harlan. Celebration of Life graveside memorial services for Virginia Matteson will be today at 10 o'clock in the Maple Grove Cemetery in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Laura Lillian Landis, age 93, of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Lillian Landis will be today at 11 o'clock at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Paul William Nissen, age 77, of Minden, died Friday at the Midlands Living Center. Funeral services for Paul Nissen will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Minden United Church of Christ. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Gene Hudson, age 83, of Carroll and formerly of Manning, died Saturday at the Carroll Health Center. Funeral services for Gene Hudson will be on Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Russell Strable, age 61, of Messina, died Saturday at CCMH here in Atlantic. Funeral services for Russell Strable will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Don Mays, age 93, of Greenfield, died Monday at the Adair County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Don Mays are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.